guy can contain himself.
Yeah, we're going to have to contain LZ. LZ, you got an hour to go. You've got an hour to go, and then you hit the finish line, my friend.
Actually, it's more like 40 minutes, but I appreciate what you're trying to tell me. Yo, I have some breaking news. Breaking news.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum,
bum. This is especially for Raj. Amsterdam's red light district is now reopened after the coronavirus shut down.
Yes! Right. Do you think this guy can contain himself?
I don't think Raj can contain himself. Amsterdam's red light district is reopened. However, and this is very important, no kissing.
Oh, man,
Well, that seems like a bad plan to begin with.
Why would you go to the red light district anyway and want to kiss anything? That ain't...
That's what I learned.
Well, I mean, that's a complicated question.
Have you seen the red light or have you been to the red light?
Listen to this quote. Here's a quote from one of the workers by the name of Foxy with two X's. Two X's. Foxy.
Is that one of the workers in the actual Amsterdam or somebody who works in Amsterdam?
Yes. Oh, yes, gosh. Foxy rents a room in the brothel outside of the red light district. And this is what she said. Quote, before I make an appointment, I have to check with the client if they're feeling okay and if they don't have any of the symptoms or if any of their housemates has symptoms. End quote. Can you imagine? You go into the red light district and the workers are making sure you're okay. It's not the other way around.
Hey, you good? You good? Okay, cool. Come on in.
See, that's another one of them things. That's another one of them things. I just can't believe it. I can't believe people. It's not on my bucket list. Seriously.
She added, quote, most of us will avoid face to face. So no kissing, end quote. Right.
I feel like this is heading in the direction that's not going to serve any of us well.
That's the best breaking news you've ever had, LZ. Thank you. You keep it coming.
Book your flight, Raj. Book your flight.
I am.
Get it taken care of. I don't know if they're letting Americans in, but we will definitely see.
I'll pretend I'm African.
Good luck. See if you can get in there. The Lakers are going to go to Orlando, and they still don't know about Dwight Howard. That Dwight Howard's roster spot will not be filled. They're not going to do what they did with Avery Bradley, who decided not to go, and they took and gave J.R. Smith that roster spot. To hear Frank Vogel say it, they're going to wait as long as they can, keep that spot open as long as they can, so Dwight has an option to come in.
Yeah, as they should. Communication with Dwight the whole way, with supportive phone calls and text messages, and you know, we don't know what the level of participation is going to be yet. He wants to play. We're hopeful that he's able to join us. He has an extenuating circumstance that he's working with the league on in terms of what that is ultimately going to look like. But we're hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to join us in Orlando.
Hopeful and optimistic. That's the part that I keep focusing on, that they are hopeful and optimistic to me means that they're not going to fill that spot because they believe he's going to come and play basketball for the Lakers.
And the thing is they're doing the right thing by waiting and seeing him, but also helping him through this situation where, you know, you can see where a lot of other teams with some of their guys wasn't really out front in terms of talking about the issues that they were having. It was almost like they left those players out on an island by themselves to make that decision. The Lakers seem like they're trying to help Dwight make the decision along with the NBA on what's best for him and his family.
It is absolutely a heartbreaking situation that he's trying to deal with in the midst of everything else. And then there's just the legacy of his just career. Number one overall draft pick, multiple time All-Star, won Defensive Player of the Year multiple times, led the league in rebounds multiple times, and yet there's somehow this sense that he's a Hall of Famer that disappointed us. Mm-hmm. You know, almost along the lines of Vince Carter, when you think about everything that Vince Carter could do physically, definitely in the Hall of Fame, but somehow the career ended with a Yale butt. This is Dwight Howard's opportunity to end the Yale butt part of his career. Because if the Lakers were to win a championship, make no mistake about it, Dwight Howard may not be the leader, but he'll be a big part of the reason why. So this isn't him on the coattail. This is him being part of the mix. And he can wipe away the last few years of random sort of behavior and odd stays on teams if he's able to win a chip. But you don't want that to be the focus because what he's dealing with is important. is more important. And it's hard to remember that sometimes, so I'm glad to see that the Lakers are keeping that in the fore.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea, the Lakers probably don't win without him. There are other good teams. Milwaukee's a good team. The Clippers are a good team. The Lakers still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and so you always got a chance. It's not, it doesn't go to zero, but it was going to be a tough climb regardless. I mean, you're going up against some pretty good teams. And this is, I think, what Giannis was getting at. The idea of winning a championship this year is not just, oh, okay, we're a good team. We're going to be one of the final four, maybe one of the final two, and we got a shot at this. There are decisions to be made. There are thoughts that are going to be racing through everybody's head, both pandemic-related, both social justice-related. There are so many different variables. And then the basketball itself is just going to be so different because you're playing in a vacuum. If you're used to doing something in front of a ton of people and getting feedback from a ton of people and having people carry you through moments, the energy, the emotion, the adrenaline, whatever it is, and all of a sudden there's none of that. And, oh, by the way, I might not have this guy or I might not have that guy. We got a different guy on the roster. This is going to be one of the more difficult championships to win for everybody. And then the Lakers losing arguably their third most important guy. It's about as tough as you could ask.
It is. And Giannis is right. This is going to be a tough situation because it's not – you're not sleeping in your own bed. You're not driving to your own stadium. There's no home court advantage in this situation. You know, there's no fans in this situation. You clearly can hear everything – on the court that's going on when a person says weak side help slide, close, all the different stuff that you would get in an empty arena or a practice session, you're going to be able to hear it on the floor clear. It's not going to be I thought I heard this, I thought I heard that. No, you're going to be able to hear things clear, so it's just going to make it that much harder. You know, when the defender is told to do something, it's not I'm throwing up my hands because I didn't hear you. No, you're going to hear him. So you're going to be able to get over there fast enough to now make a dude change his shot. It's just going to be one of those weird situations where things are going to be tough and you got to figure out how to fight through it to ultimately win that championship in the end.
You know, it's such an amazing time, right? So we have leagues trying to restart the pandemic. You have the NBA in particular trying to figure out how to keep the momentum going in terms of social justice and not having focus being turned away. And then yesterday we had this amazing conclusion to a story with Maya Moore, who was by far probably the WNBA's best player, left her career to try and help an innocent black man who was, you know, falsely accused of a crime and was sentenced to jail for 50 years. And yesterday she was there when he finally got out of prison. His case was overturned. She helped push and get him over it. And it's just such an incredible time in this country. And it's amazing to see sports figures from a variety of different ways be in the forefront of this, whether they're marching with Black Lives Matter protests, whether they're sacrificing their careers to try and help innocent black people who are in jail, or whether they're trying to figure out how to bring a league back through a pandemic while also keeping the focus on the moment at hand. I don't know if we're ever going to have a time like this in this country that's being led by sports. And, you know, the listeners, those of you who are listening, I know it's hard to see the forest and the trees because we're experiencing and we're living it right now. But trust when I say, as someone who has studied a lot of history over the years, I don't ever recall sports leading the nation through a health crisis and a social justice crisis and an economic crisis all at the same freaking time. This is incredible.
Key, how hard would it be to compartmentalize all the things that LZ just laid out? You're going in and you're starting to play your season. And look, because we're all human beings. We're all affected by this stuff that's out there. But at the same time, as a professional athlete, your job is to go out there and perform at the very highest level. And you need to be perfectly in tune physically and mentally and everything that goes along with it. And then you've got the world just spinning out of control everywhere else. That's what the athletes themselves, like you were just saying, LZ, to go in there and deal with, to be a human being in this time and place in the history of the world. And then, oh, by the way, go out there and guard LeBron James, or go out there and guard Kawhi Leonard, or go out there and run an offense in the NFL. I mean, there's more on their plate than almost anybody's.
You can do it, as crazy as it may sound. It's a lot of stress. on you, but you could do it. It's when you're playing basketball or football, that's what you're doing. When you leave basketball, football, you tend to turn your focus to the other things. I've experienced things similar where I was on a Super Bowl run, championship run, in the midst of a divorce, still trying to run a foundation, still trying to figure out how what's going to happen with my kids, what's going to happen with businesses, all of those sort of things. You could do it. And it was one of my better years that I've ever had. And it was also one of my better playoff performances and all of those sort of things. So you can certainly do it. And they'll be able to do it. Much like LeBron said, we don't have to focus just on one thing.
No, it's not focusing on one thing. But the more things you have to focus on, the less focus there is on the thing. And whatever the thing is, whether it's social justice or basketball or whatever.
But that's not really true.
Sure it
is. Because I can get a lot of comp. I can get what I want to get accomplished by putting forth the effort. If there's only so much time in a day, right? There's only so much time in a day. But I can balance that time and spread that time out with the right situation put into place. I can still contribute to my team as I've always done. I can still contribute to my community. I still could be a part of a movement on top of other things. It's not like, you know, you say, well, think about it. How can actors and actresses shoot three different movies in 2 months? It's scheduled that way for them to be able to do it. And if you schedule yourself that way from a mental standpoint to be able to do the things that you set out to do, you certainly can do it. I'm 100% a living witness of that.
I just think it's different, Key. I think it's different because in your examples, there's a lot that you're doing, but you're doing it when the ground underneath your feet is settled. They're trying to do a lot of different things, and it's a moving target. This pandemic is constantly changing things from a health perspective. It's changing things from an individual thing.
But you alter yours when it alters.
But it's a variable that's never not there. You never get to exit out. You never get to say, okay, check that box, move on to the next box. That box is never checked.
It's going to continue to evolve. And all you do is when you check that box, if that box moves, you move with that box. You don't just check it and move on to the next. You got to still maintain it and monitor it. You can play basketball. You can play basketball in that bubble and still do your social injustice things that you want to do. Even though you in that bubble, you can still do it because you also got boots on the ground to help you do it. You don't have to shut the door just because you in the bubble. You don't have to all of a sudden stop doing things. No one ever said you got to stop. You may not be actively out there marching and doing those things, but you certainly can still communicate.
The long weekend is finally here. Key's going to tell us what to put on the grill for the 4th of July weekend. Chef Boyardee is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. I don't know if those guys are going to be up for whatever it is you got for us for Chef Boyardee, because a hot dog eating contest on Thursday afternoon will probably create some sort of hot dog hangover that lasts well into the weekend.
Yeah, it's hot dogs, man. I just – unless I'm at a Dodger game, otherwise hot dogs got to go out the door, and I'm only going to do two every four innings or something like that at a baseball game.
Yeah, I hear you. Two at a baseball game is about the right number for sure. But have you never gone beyond that, even when you were a younger guy, before you were more around your veganism? Never?
Never. Never stopped at AM, PM, or PM, AM, or whatever.
AM, PM, 7-Eleven, they got dogs.
No, I did that a couple times coming out of high school. But other than that, no, I'm going to have to pass on the dogs.
Because
they're only good at Dodger Stadium.
No, that's not true.
I mean, they're good in my house.
Exactly.
Hot dog?
Yes.
I don't eat hot dogs, but my mom still eat hot dogs. Now, I would do a sausage, like a brat or something like
that. Man, you make too much money to be eating a hot dog.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but you know.
Listen, mama loves hot dogs.
Hot dogs are fine. You guys are throwing shade on hot dogs. I don't need to be in an eating contest like Sliwa and Mason, but a couple of dogs here and there, they're not the end of the world.
They're not bad.
Start, to start your evening.
That's right. And it's also a nice way to start on 4th of July. But I have a feeling we won't be hearing hot dogs on Chef Boyardee.
That is right. It is time for Chef Boyardee. Because it is 4th of July, it will not be any grilling going on for 4th of July. We don't grill on 4th of July. Grilling is really quick. Okay. We barbecue. We get the charcoal. We get the nice charcoal grill out. The mesquite grill. You can, the Kingsford, you can use that. You can use the wood chips. So we got our flames going. We got our fire going. Because Travis wants dogs, we're going to put dogs on the grill. We're going to bring them out of the package.
We're
going to drop them on for people like Travis and little kids that's running around in the backyard. But we also
– microwave.
We're also
going, get out of
we're
here,
also going to go with the red, red, red hot links out of the box.
Ooh, I like those.
The brown box. The grease is going to drop down into the fire, and the flames are going to come up. And then they're going to split and burst. But then on the other side, we're going to have the originals, the organic chicken links, sausages, nice meaty ones from like a Trader Joe's or from a Whole Foods, something like that for me and you, LZ. That's the starter kit. That gets you going. You can play dominoes and hang out, you know, while you smell the smoker that's been going on for probably about 4 hours by the time you arrive to the residence. You got a nice tri-tip in the smoker, 8 hours and about 325, rotating every 2 hours or so just to get that nice flavor. But because I got the new Sniffin' Griffin dry rub, I'm going to make sure to base that thing all around with the dry rub. Sniffin' Griffin is brought to you by Warren G. So Warren G sent me a nice box the other day. I'm going to make sure to use that.
And by the way, Warren G will be on Tuesday on our show, so be listening.
So I'm going to make sure to use that rub on that tri-tip. But along the way, not just the smoking the tri-tip, you also want to smoke some ribs, some pork ribs. You know, not necessarily the baby backs, but you could do the baby backs if that's what you choose to do. I think LZ, you're a big baby back guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to a spare rib guy. But
nah, baby backs.
If you're doing it all, you get a little spare rib, you get a little baby back, and you do it all. But you also might want to put the spare rib on the charcoal grill. That's the way I would do it. Nice and seasoned.
What's the dry rub?
I'm going to use the Warren G's. I'm going to use Warren G's dry rub. But I'm also going to use Warren G's OG spicy barbecue sauce. So I'm going to make sure to put that barbecue sauce on there. I'm going to put it on the grill. I'm going to take it off. I'm going to put that barbecue sauce on there again and drop it on the grill. But I can't forget to have my chicken. You know, my chicken's going to be nice and seasoned. I'm gonna probably
Seasoning? Well, tell me what's in the seasoning.
I'm trying to figure out what's in Warren G's dry rub. I wonder if it's got anything I may appreciate.
Well, I tasted it.
It'll make you hungrier, LZ. It'll make you hungrier.
It is some green stuff in here, but I would think that's like some basil,
oregano.
Or parsley, oregano, or something.
I can do that myself.
But I'm gonna continue the theme of using Warren G's dry rub, Travis, on the chicken, but lightly.
Okay.
Not too heavy, lightly. Right. But I'm also gonna have some different fish. I'm gonna probably put some salmon on the grill. Now we've gotten away from the meats. We're gonna have our vegetables. There's gonna be a corn. Then there's going to be some sliced jalapenos. All this is going on the grill, some bell peppers, some asparagus, some Brussels sprouts. Putting all that on the grill, and I'm going to mix it in with some garlic, a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, dice a little lime or lemon on top of it, put it all in a nice tray on top of the grill. And then at the end of the day, instead of normal potato salad, I'm going to give you a mix of white potatoes along with sweet potatoes, roasted
potato
in the oven, mixed together with some nice diced onions and a little salt and pepper on top. What else y'all want? Y'all want the sweet beans? Here you go. Sweet beans. Now, I'm not boiling no damn beans, LZ. I'm going bush out the can.
Picking out the bad ones?
I'm bush. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Oh, why the can?
Because it takes too long. I ain't going to be able to do it.
I'll do it tonight.
No. Bush out the can. I'm going to drain
July
all the.
You talking about you don't have time to do something
in 2 days.
I don't
have time. I'm going to give you this one. If you can use the recipe and okay. you can do your beans and you can still use the recipe. My beans are coming out of the can. I am going to, as my daughter called them, sweet beans. I'm going to drain the tomato juice and all the gooky stuff out of it. I'm going to drop them in a strainer. Then I'm going to wash them down with water. I'm going to spray the water on them, get all the gook off of it. Then I'm going to take it, drop it in my big famous yellow bowl. I'm going to put brown sugar, a little vanilla in there, a little spicy mustard, some barbecue sauce, a little bit of cinnamon. Cinnamon.
That sounds incredible, by the way.
Okay, want me to slow down and give it to you again, Travis?
This is keep going.
Okay, so I'm going to drain the beans. I'm going to drop some vanilla in there, some brown sugar, some spicy mustard, some
yummy barbecue
sauce. Not a lot, though. Don't put too much. And some cinnamon. And I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to stir it up real good. Then I'm going to put it in a Pyrex. Put a little aluminum foil on top of the Pyrex. Drop it in the oven for about 30 minutes at about 350. Oh, man.
That sounds amazing.
You're killing me. Killing me. So you want some macaroni and cheese? Elbow Max. I'm going to take me some nice cheddar, white and yellow. I'm going to have me take some eggs, some milk, some butter. Now, that's where my cholesterol goes up. Salt and pepper. I'm going to whip that. I'm going to whip all that up together as I boil the noodles. Then I'm going to layer it. I'm going noodles. I'm going cheese. Then I'm spreading the mixture over the top. Then I'm going noodles, cheese, spread the mixture over the top, cheese on top, in the oven for about 45 minutes at a temp of about 350. And that's pretty much it. Now what you want to do is you want to have
like an African village.
I got everybody coming. What you think? It's 4th of July.
What do you mean you got everybody coming? You shouldn't be having everybody coming. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a pandemic.
Metaphorically.
Jeez, God.
You got mad at me for being at the bar watching soccer.
Now
yesterday.
Y'all get ready to have the police knock on my door, man. Come on. And so to wash all – so I can't forget about my family. So I got the Impossible Burger Meat. So I'm a liquid smoke dropped in Impossible Burger Meat. Put the dry rub in there, but I'm going to mix it all together and I'm going to flatten it like I need to in terms of making it into burgers. I got the Beyond Sausages for them. So they good. They got theirs, plenty of veggies, plenty of everything for them. Then the Sakatumi cake that I picked up, I didn't bake it. I picked it up from the grocery store. Go in the grocery store, get you a Sakatumi cake, or find you in the hood. You go find you at one of them barbecue locations. You get you some Sakatumi, some red velvet, or some 7-Up cake. Okay, you got the sweet potato pie going. You got your peach cobbler going. You got all of these things going for you.
Potato.
From a standpoint, you need to wash it down, though. We got a full bar. We went to Costco. Oh, yeah. We loaded up on the whites, the reds. We loaded up on the tequilas, the vodkas.
And Don Julio 70.
We got a nice ice chest with the Coronas. We got the Budweisers. We got the Michelobes. We got every beer that you could think of in a big, nice ice chest. And that is your day on the 4th of July.
You can't come over to my house with no Budweiser.
Well, I got to have this stuff. He's got a variety, LZ.
Whatever you like. Right, you got a little bit of brown and white.
Variety. You got to have a variety of everything. And then far in the right corner on my estate, in the right corner, all the way in the back section. Over there, there's a table that's set up, okay? And it's got some chairs around it. And there's some people over there that look like they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And that's the area for them. And that area for them, as long as you don't burn down my mountain, you're all right.
I think that's the area for you and me, LZ.
No. You ain't going to shame me like there's something wrong with what I'm doing. You got Budweiser in the house, but I'm supposed to be hiding somewhere like what I'm doing is
kids,
wrong?
Right. There's kids. There's
children
kids.
Around.
There's kids.
I repeat, you are drinking Budweiser in front of innocent children, poisoning their minds, thinking this is what's right.
Hey,
so
more Budweiser for me. I will.
But they've conditioned our minds for many years to think that liquor is okay, so let's keep it that way.
Well, it's okay, too. It is okay, too. That sounds absolutely fantastic. Make me a plate and send it down this way. I am 100% in.
I done got hungry.
Yeah, well, you did a good job. Those beans
are getting Karen just texted. Sure, you made her hungry, too.
Yeah, everybody. All right, Cam Newton is stepping into a really interesting spot in New England. You'll hear what I mean next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Assuming Travis has his normal drop of the comics line there.
I don't know if he's always dropping it this time, but he just gets tired of us.
I think so. I think about 3.5 hours is enough.
Yo, he was counting you down. He checked out early.
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I just know it's just weird. Whenever we start having little conversations about the snake draft, you just seem to drop in your comrades. I'm not really sure what happens with that.
I think you guys are you guys don't understand my approach to the snake draft. My approach to the snake draft is to pick what I like. That I'm taking a page out of Key. That don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm picking what I like, and if other people want to get on board, that's great. But if they don't, that's fine too. I am very comfortable with my picks.
Exactly, and as long as you're comfortable with your own skin and who you are, you'll be okay. You haven't gotten this far in life worrying about other people. And this is what I always told people about my own professional career. If I sit around and I worry about what you think about me and how I am, I'll be in trouble. So you take that method and you run with that, Travis, and I think you'll be okay. The problem is, we start worrying about you when you're picking Roseanne's and General Lee's. That is when we have to step in. Well, when you start to act like, if you ever, which I doubt it, start to act like those people up in Boston on that radio show.
Well,
which
I'm not even worried about. We'll get to Boston, but hold on. We're not going to just power past
Roseanne. You have to get to Boston?
Thing. We're not going to – I did not pick Roseanne. I have to take responsibility for my General Lee pick. I never picked Roseanne. You keep saying that. So
no, you didn't pick Roseanne. You thought about it.
No, that's not true.
She was on the draft board, Travis. We saw pictures. She was on the draft board.
Well, look, I'm not doing my due diligence if I don't look at every possible option, but she was never a viable pick.
The fact that you even had her until all those red flags came up and you took her off the board worries me a little.
I bet you I know who would have taken Roseanne in our snake draft. A couple of guys who do not want to see Cam Newton do Cam Newton stuff in Boston specifically. Can he contain himself? Take a listen to these two guys in Boston talking about Cam's arrival in Boston.
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Supermanning, all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Something as simple and innocuous as that. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after games or after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way.
That would piss me off.
I shouldn't say allow it because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski. Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh,
He's the quarterback.
Ah, oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
This guy, you're going to see it.
All right.
Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
There it is. We needed to get that. Contain himself?
My head starts to hurt when I start to hear this now is shut up and block, shut up and block, shut up and take the snap. And Gronkowski, they won't allow him to do anything. Now, I could be one of those dudes supposed to go on and research and do all that and find videos of Gronkowski celebrating and post it and tag them if I wanted to. But what they just said was a bunch of damn lies. They just told a bunch of lies. That's what they just did. Because there's plenty of video showing Gronkowski celebrating along with Tom Brady. There's plenty of video. And as far as containing himself, he ain't no wild-ass animal, man. You don't use that to describe somebody. Contain himself.
Well, they do use that to describe somebody. Then we know exactly who they use those terms to describe.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You never hear that talked about with a player like Tom Brady, that he has to contain himself.
Do you think this guy can contain himself?
Never.
Dude, have you ever seen Brady yelling and screaming after he scored a touchdown?
One of the more famous videos.
Turn it to the sideline of the opposing team?
One of the more famous videos of Tom Brady screaming like you talk about was when he was screaming in Bill O'Brien's face, right? That they were screaming at each other, nose to nose, screaming. Imagine the reaction if Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels have an exchange like that. Well, imagine.
They would call in the state troopers at that point.
Right.
Yeah, they would say that the state troopers need to come and
it would be the exact same thing. And the phrase was never, does Tom Brady need to contain himself? That's not coming out of anybody's mouth.
Man, it's that coded and that hidden language, you know. You know how that go. That comma, as my man said the other day on our show.
Now, this isn't a comma. This is an underline. This is a highlight. This
bold.
Is a bold. And I'm just sitting here, and I'm just like, there's a part of me that's just like, I get that you need to do radio, and I get Cam Newton can be a polarizing figure depending upon where you stand. But in this environment, why do you feel comfortable just playing this game in this fashion? In this current climate, politically, socially, however you want to characterize it.
Because like they don't
there are times and moments in which you just need to look around and go, you know what? The wind is blowing south. Maybe north isn't where I need to go right now. Maybe I can do west, or maybe I can do east.
No, LZ, because they're
that's directly their in the audience tail, in the space north. Of it all.
Their audience is north. They want to go north. They want to hear north. They want to hear the direction of but. You know what I mean? Think about it. The phrase, you know, I hope he doesn't do that Superman stuff because that pisses me. Why does that bother you? Why does that bother you? I mean, you can say, I wouldn't do it. Okay, cool. That you like Barry Sanders, who just runs into the end zone, flips the ball to the referee. That's fine. It's like the difference between Puig and Mike Trout. Puig hits a home run and he flips his bat and he does his Puig stuff. Okay, cool. Mike Trout hits his home run, runs around the bases, high fives his teammates, and sit down. What difference does it make to you watching it at home?
Yeah, I don't understand. And Ozzie Smith did backflips. Big deal.
Right.
So what?
People get upset for a variety of reasons about stupid stuff that doesn't impact lives all the time. I just don't know why these guys chose this moment to have that kind of conversation. I get it that there's a piece of the audience that may enjoy that, but it's like, come on, man. Seriously, we're doing this trope. We're doing the, you know, wild, crazy black man, you know, shucking and jiving on the routine as if you didn't have Gronkowski for all those years and all of the things that he was involved with and doing, and whether it was celebrating or drawing attention to himself dying. And I get where you're from. I understand. I've been in Boston plenty. I've covered politics in Boston. I've seen Confederate flags in Massachusetts, which confuses me. Because if there's anything that wasn't Confederate, it would have been Massachusetts. I get all of that, but it's just, you know, it's vexing.
Do me a favor, LZ. Contain yourself.
Yeah. Don't do a Superman on the side.
Do you think this guy can contain himself?
Off. All right. Sedano is going to join us next. A little crosstalk coming your way on the morning show, 710 ESPN. All right, George, it's coming up later on this afternoon, the hot dog eating contest between Mason and Sliwa. Who do you got and why?
Man, you know, I would immediately just go with Mason just because he's so competitive and crazy like that. But I always feel like Sliwa, because he's so quiet, that like there's something more to him. Like there's like a
like hot dogs?
Like
something dark. Something.
Yeah. There's a dark side to Sliwa. Yeah. And I feel like once you let that person out, like it's just going to rage all over the place. But look, Mason is just so uber competitive. He doesn't like to lose at anything. That if he
has he won?
Well, he
not
no
a snake draft.
Well, not a snake draft, but he's won like those video game simulation things, and he takes them very seriously. That he and I in Ireland have played against each other, even though we're not actually ones playing the video game. It's just a computer simulation. He parades around like he's won a championship. So because of that, knowing how competitive he is firsthand, I feel like if he's behind, he's just going to go for the gusto. You know,
I just thought about something, guys, that Sliwa has a massive disadvantage now that I think about it. He's got to do his show after that.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
Mason's at the end of the line, so he can just kind of go for it and make himself sick or whatever. But Sliwa's got to eat God knows how many hot dogs and then do his show. Can you imagine?
Yeah, are we doing this on Zoom? Like, how do we know the legitimacy of this particular contest?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That's, I mean, it's not something you really want to lie about. It's how many disgusting hot dogs you can jam.
They ain't
going
to be able to lie because when they both turn purple, you'll know.
Yeah. I'd rather, for posterity's sake, I think we need to put this on Zoom, you know?
I'm sure it'll be on video. We'll be able to somebody will be able to tell exactly who ate what based on the amount of throw up that's in their buckets.
Speaking of throw up, I just saw a commercial. I just saw a commercial for Svedka vodka, which to me is like, I'm not a vodka drinker, but like when I think of headache alcohol, that's like one of the ones that like just immediately pops into my head. Where is the alcohol that you won't touch? Like that no matter what, you see it and you just, you, it conjures up awful memories.
Is brand specific or just varietal? I mean,
Jägermeister?
Yeah, brand specific would be best. Yes, Jägermeister is a good one, yes.
It's not Svedka, George, but for me, it's Sky Vodka. And it's very similar to that I've had it twice and two absolutely catastrophic experiences. Never again.
It's not even that. I just don't like the smell of it. I'd rather be sober. If I went to a party and nothing was there but gin, I'm chilling. I'm good.
I'll drink the gin.
I don't love gin either.
That's like smell like old people, man.
It smells like gas. Gin. Yeah.
LZ, you and I are in the minority, though. We're the two of the very few people that like that.
Yeah, I basically would drink all the liquors. All of them. Brandy, scotch, all of them. I drink it all.
You know, LZ and George,
Travis.
When you grow up, no, because I wanted to exclude you because I know you didn't have a liquor store near your house growing up. when you have a liquor store right around the corner, on the corner from your crib,
and,
you know, as we would call them as kids, the winos,
they
would have the bumpy bottle gin, and it just didn't.
Yeah.
In the brand, and ever since then, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I in high school, I went to a friend of mine's party, and we had Goldschlager. And I was just enamored by the gold in it. And then I was enamored by the gold. I wasn't as enamored by the gold coming out of my mouth after that.
Oh, my God.
What are your plans for 4th of July, George? What do you got cooking?
We're just going to hang out. You know, we got some stuff that we're going to put on the grill. You know, different meats, as we discussed yesterday. A little chicken as well. You know, the kids don't love the steak for whatever reason at this age. So, they, you know, but we can throw some chicken on there and they'll be good with that. Some hot dogs for them too. Not as many as Mason and Sliwa, obviously, but we'll throw some of that stuff on there and just hang out. I'm going to watch Hamilton on Disney Plus. I never got a chance to actually watch it in the theater. So I figured, all right, I'll watch this thing because I have the Disney Plus for the kids.
Well, it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant.
Whatever you do, don't out act wild and crazy.
Contain yourself, George.
I'm gonna contain myself. And by the way, shout out to West Hollywood for finding people without masks. I think we should all adopt that.
Wouldn't want you to all of a sudden become an animal, you know?
All right. The Sedano Show is coming up next. Everybody have a very happy 4th of July. We'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.